Good day, and welcome to the Essentra conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Paul Forman, Executive. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and good day, everyone. I'm joined here by Stefan Schellinger and Joe Speed. I'm going to assume and take the announcement as read. So my intention is to give you some additional qualitative color for about 10 to 15 minutes, and then there will be an opportunity for Q&A after that. As is my approach in all my interactions with analysts and investors, I will try and be as open and candid and honest as I possibly can be. What I would ask is that you don't ask myself or Stefan particular questions about numbers for either 16 or 17. There are three reasons for that, one of which is we're in a closed period. Secondly, we are partway through the year-end audit process, so these numbers, any numbers we could give you would not be subject to approval and comfort of the audit committee. And third, that the numbers for 2017 are still being reviewed, most notably given the circumstances of the changes in leadership and also the events that have caused this announcement today. With that caveat, I'm very happy to tackle anything else. What I would also ask you is to remember that this is day 23 of my tenure as CEO in what is a pretty complex international group. Having said that, I've been making my business to get around, seen a number of sites in both the UK and Asia, and have talked quite literally to many hundreds of employees and talked to a number of yourselves on the phone line today. What I would like to also emphasize to preempt any questions in that direction, especially conditioned by the events of last week, is that this is not an attempt by a new chief executive to use the vernacular kitchen sink. I am 23 days in. I will be undertaking, as I've mentioned to many of you and is also referred to in this, a thorough strategic review, the outcome of which will be communicated at the time of the interims. This is merely a communication that the revenue and therefore the profit outturn envisaged at the time of the announcement in November has not been met. So it's entirely 100% relates to trading, not positioning by a new man at the top of the organization. I think the most important thing is that I'm under no illusion as to the nature of the task. There is definitely a lot to do. But I would say that the strategic strengths which encouraged me to join Essentra, the market positions, the products, the customer relationships, the global reach, are most definitely there across all of the three main businesses. I would also say that I have met many colleagues who are both excellent in their capabilities but also passionate about making the most of Essentra. Perhaps the most important thing, or most two important things, are firstly that at a 90% level, my initial views are that the issues that we are facing are not market-related, they're not structural, but they are self-inflicted, and I can talk to the nature of those, etc. And by definition, therefore, if they are self-inflicted, they can be unself-inflicted and reversed. So they are capable of being improved. It will simply take no little application of skill, time, and energy. I think the other point is that the twin challenges at a top level that face me and the team are about stabilizing a business but also then strategically establishing what is the optimal way forward. And returning a company in mature industries to growth are all challenges that I have undertaken both at Lowe & Bonner and Coates, and I'm confident that when we have bottomed out exactly what the issues are, I and whatever team proceeds with me are more than capable of reversing those. I think the most helpful thing I can do is then to just break my thoughts down into two categories. Firstly, what I'd like to do is talk to what I see as the root causes of this current situation, and I'm not simply referring to the events of the last few weeks, but that is symptomatic, I think. But secondly, also to what we are specifically and concretely doing about it. I would say that all of these comments relate to the three entities to varying degrees, but are undoubtedly most pronounced in what I call the packaging business, HPC. So what are the four root causes? Clearly, this may alter marginally as we dig deeper, but I think they won't. Firstly, there has been very suboptimal site integration post-acquisitions, primarily in packaging. The consequence of that is that we have had additional costs and we have had a material sales loss. Why is that? The sales have been lost basically to service levels, by which I mean things like on time, in full, and product quality, suffering, and also where we have combined many sites, there is no doubt that the local contacts between an individual site and its immediate customer base were severed, and that has compromised the sales line also. I think also linked to that, there has been little drive that I can see, certainly, to put in place mechanisms to share best practice. Accordingly, we both miss opportunities and we run the risk and have indeed, in my view, done so, repeated mistakes. Not atypical of an organization that doesn't have full stability, but that's clearly something we'll focus on. So that's the first root cause. The second, I believe, is loss of people. Accenture has undoubtedly lost skills, experience, customer contacts over the last 2 or 3 years. I think it's partly as a result of the drive to achieve cost synergies. I question actually whether they were not some of those decisions penny-wise and pound-foolish, but also a reaction on people's part to a very changed set of circumstances and a very different working environment. The consequence of that is we have had a loss of both skills and contacts with the market, both locally and centrally. What it has also done, and I think this is partly a reflection of what the difference is between what we said in mid-November and what we're saying now, is it has left us less in tune with our marketplaces and therefore more prone to external surprises. So that's the second factor, the loss of people. The third is what I believe is a current matrix organization comprised of business units and then regions. This structure, I think, is fundamentally unhelpful, particularly for a company of our size and our nature. We are not a globally huge homogenous entity. We are a collection of relatively small businesses, and I think that the current organization works both against clarity of roles and accountability. I was struck in the recent budget discussions how much duplication and lack of clarity there was. As I've talked to many people, I've rarely actually met anyone internally who does indeed advocate the current setup, and so whilst this is not a democracy, I think it reaffirms my deep scepticism about the value of how we are currently organised. I think a related point is that not only are we set up in the wrong way, but as this company has grown, there has not been investment in some core capabilities. I'm not talking about huge amounts of investment in whole cadres of people, but if I look at things like planning or procurement or many other aspects, I just think for a company of this size and complexity, there has been an underinvestment in resource, or where it existed, a reluctance to replenish that resource. So that's the third factor. So we've talked about the suboptimal site integration and the loss of people and the current structure. The fourth is the absence of a coherent, data-driven as opposed to intuition-driven, and clearly understood and articulated medium to long-term commercial strategy. Clearly that then makes investment in CapEx, OpEx, or commercial strategies inherently risky, and means that the organization isn't aligned about a single direction, because to be brutally honest, a common view as to where each of these businesses, let alone the whole group as a whole, will look like in 3 to 5 years, where we'll go, how we'll compete, etc., just does not exist. The positive, or the two positives are, one, I think we are onto this and we know what we need to do, and secondly, as I mentioned before, they are internally driven rather than externally driven, and therefore reversible. So if that is the diagnosis, what are my thoughts on the cure? Firstly, we will not be contemplating any further changes to our footprint until there's much greater stability, there is a clear strategy and then a rationale, and I am comfortable that we have the competences in place and the processes to do it in a risk-free way. This is not likely to be for some time. So what I'm not saying here is that ultimately there will not be changes, or it may not be changes if there's a clear, compelling economic or some other rationale, but it is off the agenda. We will focus on concluding those moves we have made. We will focus on getting the services right, but that's it. Secondly, we're forming, if I can borrow a military analogy, a SWAT team. This is comprised of both external and internal resource. The purpose of that will be to focus with the relevant local management on fixing a half dozen or so underperforming sites, with the focus being on service quality, employee engagement, which has taken a real hit and is a necessary condition for sustained improvement and safety. I emphasise that it is single-digit number of sites out of a total of 50-odd. If you look at the performance split between those that are more stable and otherwise, there is a conspicuous, particularly in packaging, difference in performance. So, again, that reinforces the view that the instability in certain sites has actually led to the situation we find ourselves in at the moment. And clearly, as I had to with both Loanbon and COTA, I'll be monitoring performance and the action plans on these key metrics very regularly with my senior colleagues. So that's the second action we're undertaking. The third is that we're going to be undertaking a review as to how we make our IT systems more stable. I was marginally surprised to hear that we have 11 different ERP systems across the group. For a group of a billion odd in sales, that seems quite diverse, and some of them are quite old. So clearly, we will work out how we make our systems more stable critically, how they can add value as opposed to compromise the improvement, and are supportive of the commercial strategy. So that's number three. The fourth is a softer one, and goes to this point about the internal engagement. We have already materially increased our level of internal communications and the proactive engagement with employees, because we are really keen and adamant that we need to reduce the risk of further staff attrition. So, for example, I had a two-day workshop in week one with my leadership team, which I think was a pretty positive and helpful experience, and I could probably make a case for having spoken to an estimated 1,000 people face-to-face over the last 3 weeks as I've been around and addressed entire workforces in many sites. The fifth action is that the current structure is being reviewed. I anticipate that initial top-level changes will occur by the time of the full-year results in February, and so I will talk to that. That will not constitute an entire recalibration and reposition and realignment of the organization, but it will drive us down a direction which will then be fleshed out when, obviously, we have a clearer view of what our long-term strategy is. So the purpose of phase one, if you like, is to provide greater stability, clarity, and remove any doubts on accountability. Second stage, which will be after the strategic review, will be to identify exactly the detailed organization we want to make us the most of the strategic opportunities and optimize the operational efficiency of the business going ahead. What I'm also going to be doing is reorganizing things in the short term such that I will have greater personal visibility and interaction with those areas of most concern. There is a form of triage that needs to go on here, and whilst I would love to be able to tackle everything, those wounds that are most conspicuous will obviously be getting my attention. The sixth action is that we are, and this is linked to the point on operational stability, to develop a new set of customer retention programs. This will back up the improved service that we're going to deliver imminently, or indeed from some of the data I've seen already are. And that will, I think, help stem the hemorrhaging of sales in the worst affected areas. Seventhly, we are calling upon a judicious injection of external experts, most of whom I've worked in the past, to help diagnose the current capabilities we have, what I call gap analysis, and to recommend where the most important gaps to fill are skill-wise, capability-wise, and to recommend the priority areas that we need to beef up as soon as realistically possible. Eighthly and finally, and if you like, if the first seven talk to the need to reassure, address and re-establish stability, the eighth relates to the medium term, and that's the commencement of a full strategy review, again with financial and strategic resources that I've personally worked with successfully in the past. That will be a six-month program, and it will be communicated as stated in the announcement at the time of the interims. So to conclude, I think that this suite of activities, most of which have already commenced within the first 3 weeks of my tenure, will provide both the stability and the strategic direction that can arrest and reverse the current decline, and build on what I call the strong strategic hand of cards we possess in Essentra, whether that be the quality of margins in many parts of the business, the market positions, the customer relations, the new products, the technologies, etc. If you look at two of the three businesses, it is not by coincidence they generate the kind of operating margins that they have. And for me, the focus is on how we get profitable sales growth to expand those businesses and get the benefit of the operational gearing there. So I think in summary, we have as a team a clear way to address these issues. My senior team is aligned on these and is fired up to deliver them. We have, as the announcement alludes to, particularly with Porous, a strong balance sheet. We have some great market positions generating strong margins. The situation is one we imposed largely on ourselves. We think we know what we have to do to reverse it, and we will get on and we will indeed reverse it. So hopefully that gives you some kind of fairly open, clear, unadulterated view of what I've seen and what I'm thinking, and more importantly what we're doing. That in no way diffuses the fact that as we've announced today, the outturn is going to be lower than was envisaged, or possibly the same at the bottom of the range, but that in that range of outcomes. But I do believe that we can, within the medium term, get this business not just back to where it was, but even better. So I'm going to pause there and open the line to take questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star or asterisk key, followed by the digit 1. Please ensure the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will now take our first question from Sylvia Fortiva from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Two questions, please. First of all, without asking for any specific numbers, but just thinking about the shape of HBC. So it sounds like the issues currently are more relating to kind of volume and revenue, with the cost side probably more or less in place. How quickly can you see those customers come back? Is it a question of, you know, you've lost some relationships which might not be recoverable, or is it just volume which has gone to the other source that they use but might come back if the quality of service improves?
Okay, hi. Your prognosis is right. This is a volume related issue that broadly, whilst at the margin there may be some cost that we thought we might be saving by now and we're not. That's a minor order of magnitude. As you say, this is all down to not the market, but the share of wallet we have with our customers. I think this issue has been a time in the making, and therefore will be a time in the reversing, because there has to be a sequence. There is no point in us trying to woo customers back again if we are not clear that we can provide the quality of product and service that is truly at all probably better than any other supplier. So we need to get that nailed down. That is happening in certain areas. If I take our biggest site, for instance, Newport, there are two different business lines there. There's the labels and the cartons. The labels has now had a period of 6 months of being integrated, and if you take the service levels there, the on-time in full, so right quality, right place, right amount, is somewhere in the mid to high 90s now. And that's the kind of level that we should be going for. So that we have to achieve those levels. We then have to convince our customers, and then the customers have to, if you like, have the confidence. So I think that this is a couple of years before we really regain confidence fully and actually optimize the potential. This is not a quick fix, and please don't think that.
Okay, so that will be kind of 18 and a hand.
Well,
so you're still seeing some of the quality issues now. Can you just kind of flesh out what exactly kind of the issues are? Is that a lack of talent? As you said, some of the local kind of expertise is probably lost, or
yes.
Is it setting up machinery and getting everything right?
Just to pick up on the first point, it won't be 18 until things start improving. So we would expect 2017 to be better than 2016 on a like-for-like sales growth. But it will, until we fully regain that trust, experience in the past says it doesn't happen in months. It happens in a year or two. So 2018 is probably when we will be more up to full stability. So the second part of the question was?
I was just wondering if you could just flesh out the continual quality issues, either, I guess, employee-linked or asset-linked or something else.
No, it's not. The assets actually aren't bad. I think you hit the nail on the head, which is, if, for instance, you take three or four factories dotted around the country which have been established for 10, 20, 30, 40 years with the relevant employee skills, etc., and then, to take an example, you put a big site with multiple hundreds of people in, say, South Wales, where there is not the existing knowledge or competence in, say, packaging or colour or whatever, then by definition, you're starting almost from scratch. You have a new and an inexperienced employee base, even if some of the managers have the expertise, and it takes a while to develop those skills in the employee base.
Okay, great, thank you. That was just my first question, so I'll just quickly ask the other two. But investment in resources, you mentioned that perhaps Accenture has underinvested. Could you just talk a little bit more about that? And then finally, in terms of the strategy review output, it sounds like you're going for steady stabilization before you could make any decisions around potential divestments, etc. So what output can we expect from the strategy review?
Okay. So I'll take the second question first, and you can remind me. I'm getting old, so I can't always remember these things. Absolutely right. There will be, what struck me, and this was even before I joined, is that there was not an existence of a clear, data-driven, articulated commercial set of strategies for each business, which is, where do we see ourselves being? How are we going to differentiate versus our competitors? How are we going to be the best possible partner in a B2B environment for our customers, and how are we going to get there? And can we, and is it worth the effort? So we will not be making major portfolio decisions, whether that be disposals, acquisitions, A, until we have stability, and B, we have a clear view, and the senior team, many of the organization and obviously critically the board are comfortable with what we see as, if I can use a crude term, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Okay,
so the output will be, in simple terms, let's map all our different businesses, and I think to say we only have three businesses is wrong. We have more than that. What do we think their strategic potential is? What is their margin potential? And what is the route for optimizing that? And then we, the board, can form a view as, well, we'll back A, B, C, and D, but E is probably better done by someone else, but we'll really pile big into F. Okay?
Okay, great. Well, that's very helpful. Thank you. And my final one was just around investment in resources. Where you would like to invest, etc. So you'll be linked with the strategy review as well.
Exactly. You need to work back from saying, if we are going to, for instance, say that the way forward for one of the businesses entirely on a digital B2B portal base, then we need to upscale our digital capabilities. If we decide that Asia is the way forward for one of our businesses, we will have to increase our capabilities in that particular area. So I think you're spot on that the view on skills follows the view on strategy. But having said that, it is quite obvious to me, irrespective of what strategy we follow, that some of the basics, whether that be approach to risk management, the sharing of best practice, the use of continuous improvement, the right balance of central and local purchasing, our ability to do demand forecasting, these things, irrespective, will need selective improvement. And that's why I'm bringing in people who've, if you like, led advisory organizations or run organizations at the top level to give me a very specialist view on that, so that we can identify those non-strategy specific areas that we can get on fixing. Now, what I don't want you to do is think that this is like recruiting the equivalent population of a small African country. What I'm talking about is the judicious injection of talent. So, for instance, when I was at Coats, we identified that R&D was an area we needed to be much better at, and we ended up with two people. So, please don't think that the headcount's going to double or whatever. It's about rifle shot rather than shotgun.
Great, thanks very much.
Again, as a reminder to ask a question today, please press star 1. There are no further questions from the telephone. We have one more question from James Beard from Numis Securities. Please go ahead.
Morning, Paul. Just following on from Sylvia's question in terms of health and personal care packaging, and clearly there's a sort of focus on that being where some of the key issues are. Just wondering if you could sort of give some similar colour in terms of the filters and the distribution businesses, and you know, your sort of expectations for those businesses, given that, yeah, I guess we're sort of expecting maybe slight downgrades in those businesses too on the back of this announcement.
Yeah, within the parameters that currently prevail, I would say that they're broadly in line. You know, as I say, we have not covered ourselves in glory in terms of accuracy of forecasting or predictability of outcomes, but within those slightly broad parameters, I think they seem fine to me at the moment. I would say that they have relatively more rigorous processes. I do think that simplifying and addressing the organization will help. They seem closer but not close enough to their marketplace, and they have some genuine USPs in terms of products, etc. And as I said before, I don't think it's coincidence that they've both got mid-teens digit margins. Now, clearly, the strategic review will answer in a fairly objective, forensic way whether that's sustainable. But at the moment, I would say that in terms of causes of the whole CEO sleepless night quotient, if that makes any sense, as a KPI, they cause me less sleepless nights than other aspects of the business, whether that be a specific area like packaging or, if you like, the more general absence of certain skills in certain areas.
Okay, perfect.
There are no further questions from the telephone.
Okay. Well, may I just thank you? I guess, as I said before, Centra's fundamentally a very good business. It hasn't helped itself. We know where it hasn't helped itself, and we will get on with full might and energy in reversing that. So thank you very much indeed. And as always, if there are specific questions or comments, please forward them to Joe, and we will ensure that they are fully addressed. So thank you very much.
That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.